Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Tuesday to you. Much love to everybody listening across the United States of America on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Thank you to everybody listening on the free radio.com app. If you're listening on SiriusXM channel 206, what's up to you? I see you out there. Or I know you hear me. Something like that. Okay? I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I'm going to tell you what I can do for the next 3 hours. 1 hour down, three more to go. Time flies when you're having fun. Thank you to every single person who just called up and gave their opinions on some NFL teams that are behind the eight ball. We got a lot of them. You can go to Cleveland. You can go stay in Ohio, go to Cincinnati, let's go to Carolina, let's go to Jacksonville, Los Angeles. We got a lot of teams that are in trouble regardless of whether or not we have a season. A big shout out to Michael Bennett. I don't know if you heard, he retired, announced his retirement today. So we won't see him out there wrecking quarterbacks anymore. I'm pretty sure he's going to spend a lot more time in the activism space. And you know, the world continues to turn. I want to let you know, in 40 minutes from now, we're going to be chatting it up with someone who played in the NBA, Sam Perkins, Big Smooth. Obviously, I want to ask him about the NBA bubble, if he would be comfortable playing. I'm going to ask him about being at UNC. Last night, we had a big conversation about who is the NBA MVP. I'm going to ask Big Smooth. And then, obviously, coming out of North Carolina, and winning a national championship, he played with Michael Jordan. So I'm going to ask him about MJ, and we got some big news, pretty interesting news that came out on the latter portion of this day. A big shout-out to Stu and Ryan for helping to put the show together. But one of the big news or big news items came out right before I went on air pretty much, and it's word that Kevin Garnett, the big ticket, one of the greatest NBA players, one of the best power forwards of all time, is part of a group that is looking to purchase and buy the team that he started his career in 1995 with, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I personally think that would be awesome. I think it's great that we've moved and that the NBA continues to mature as a league, as an organization, where you now have more former players who have an opportunity to move from the bench, move from the court, and actually participate as members of management, not just as general managers, not just as community liaisons, but actually players who have an ownership stake. And granted, Kevin Garnett is one of the highest paid. He's had one of the most lucrative NBA careers of anybody. $340 million over the course of his career, which seemed to last just about 20 years. KG is the man. He's a great dude. He's extremely competitive. We know he had to pick up his title in Boston, but he was able to end his career back in Minnesota. And he's been estranged from the ownership group more recently and Glenn Taylor because he feels that he reneged on something that a deceased coach and president Flip Saunders promised him, is that, hey, we have you as a part of this organization. And unfortunately, when Flip Saunders passed away, that deal seemingly went away, and Kevin Garnett is like, listen, I'm not dealing with the Wolves. But based on everything that's going on right now, it's out in the public. Glenn Taylor is looking to sell the team. He's looking to sell the squad, and he's looking to sell it to someone who's going to keep the team in Minnesota. And I think that's a great thing. And Kevin Garnett, we know he's, how can I say this? Very opinionated, very aggressive. He doesn't hold his tongue. He doesn't hold back on what comes to mind. I feel like, I don't know why, he's 44 years old. These guys are in their 40s now. I feel like he still beefs with Ray Allen, probably won't pick up the phone to talk to the guy, or probably wouldn't give him the time of day. But I still think this is a beautiful thing. Kevin Garnett even went on Twitter himself earlier on in the evening. And he says, no two people love the city more than myself and Glenn Taylor. He actually said something nice about the guy. He says, I look forward to trying to work with him to achieve my dream. And obviously, KG, he wouldn't be a majority owner. He'd probably have a decent stake. I mean, Glenn Taylor bought the franchise a little more than 25 years ago for $90 million. He's looking to offload and sell it for a little more than a bill. At least $1.2 billion. Like the $200 million is just like a little dip in the water there. And so whoever comes in with Kevin Garnett, I certainly hope it works out. KG even put up the, I got my fingers crossed sign here that things can work out. And I think we're on a pathway to seeing another majority owner or minority or a former player as a team owner. We see Michael Jordan, what he's done for the Hornets, not all that good. I actually find it hilarious that Michael Jordan, his imprint is still on the NBA outside of his work with the Hornets. I mean, the Jordan brand, the shoes, the kicks, I mean, the NBA All-Star jerseys, Jordan logo. The NBA's statement uniforms across teams this upcoming season. The Jordan logo. The Jordan logo is even going to be on an edition of the Detroit Pistons jersey. I want to know how Piston fans feel about that. If you're a Pistons fan, if you live in Detroit, you can call me up right now. I want to know how you feel about that. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. How do you feel about the Jumpman Jordan logo on a Detroit Pistons jersey? If I'm Isaiah Thomas, I'm shaking my head. And I think Isaiah sells champagne. I think he sells champagne now. So if I'm Isaiah Thomas, I'm probably taking a whole bottle and just going to sit down and not celebrate, probably have a lot to drink. Let's put it that way. And Michael Jordan, he hasn't necessarily had success running the Hornets. He didn't necessarily have success in his brief tenure in the management role and minor ownership role with the Washington Wizards. Well, he was promised an ownership piece. I think he got it. That's why he left. And I think the next guy who's on a pathway to ownership, hopefully majority ownership, we may have to wait, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, maybe sooner than that, the rate he's going. That's LeBron James. He's the next guy to go out and own a team. So when I look at KG, I think it's a beautiful thing. Shaq has a stake in the Sacramento Kings. You have a Kevin Garnett who's coming out and able to hopefully get a stake in the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't know if that means he's going to be a voice. I don't know if he's going to be a community liaison. We don't know what it means. But I do believe that Kevin Garnett, as a member of the organization, is a good thing for the team and a good thing for the city. Because it feels like the Minnesota Timberwolves have been wallowing in mediocrity, even with some of the talent that they've been able to bring in and have. You just got Wiggins out of the building and out of the situation. Still waiting on him to max out. Carl Anthony Towns can put up all the numbers he wants in the world, but he hasn't grown. And these are guys who actually had a few years with Kevin Garnett before he retired. It's like Kevin Garnett on the court, on the bench, didn't help out the T-Wolves. Jimmy Butler on the bench was just like, these guys don't want to play. They don't want to win. Maybe KG and a new ownership group can actually bring the Timberwolves back to being relevant in the Western Conference. Yeah, anything is possible. And I think KG coming in would help them. 855-212-4CBS. Our line is sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So, I besides hearing from the Piston fans, I want to hear from NBA fans right now. Do you believe that Kevin Garnett would make a good owner in the NBA? Does Kevin Garnett have the personality to steer a franchise or represent it? Nobody's saying he's going to be the majority owner. Nobody's going to say he's going to be the lead. But if he was the owner, there's a good chance that he'd probably be the face of the organization. Is that a good look? Is he a little too aggressive? Is he too close to retiring? Is he too close to the game? I like the idea of KG being an owner. I certainly hope, like he does, that he gets the opportunity to do so. I also hope he can do better than what Michael Jordan has done as his time as majority owner of the Hornets. Because I feel like Michael Jordan has spent his time thinking, you know what, if I can get a few players around, maybe I can go back out there myself and help get the job done. I don't know, maybe that's a pipe dream for Michael Jordan at this point in time. The phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you believe Kevin Garnett would be a good owner in the NBA? That looks like we may be pulling that into a reality. Let's talk to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
What's going on, JR? Pleasure to talk to you. First time caller.
Thank you, Mark. What's up?
I want to talk about, I'm a Philly guy here in Georgia, so I'm a Philly fan, rooting for the Sixers, of course, when we can get back on in the NBA, but I can't figure out whether I think they're going to, you know, play well when they start up again. You know, Simmons with the not lack of being able to shoot anything of a jumper and beat and the like. I don't know. I don't know if those two are a long-term match together. Maybe they can make some noise when this thing restarts. But what's your thoughts on it? I mean, I think they got to get rid of one or the other for this team to do well.
Mark.
And I think Embiid's got to stick around.
I agree with you, Mark. It depends on the style that you want to go with. And I don't know if Coach Brown is going to be the one to go ahead and make that decision. Do you want to play a more of a half-court style with a Joel Embiid? Or do you want to run and gun with a Ben Simmons? I would hope at some point in time Ben Simmons can pick up a jump shot, can shoot a three. I mean, they now have moved him to power forward at least to continue the rest of this season. It's tricky. It's tough. It's like pick your poison. On the other end, is how long is Joel Embiid going to be able to last? Are his knees going to work for the next fill-in-the-blank years? I'd venture to say that you probably have a better odds, or the odds are better, that Ben Simmons stays healthy in the long term as opposed to Joel Embiid. I mean, is Joel Embiid going to be in shape? He's a big dude. He's a heavy dude. How is he going to age? I would think long term. I like both, but I would probably go with Ben Simmons just because of his versatility. Sorry. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to take more of your callers when we come back. What are your thoughts on Kevin Garnett? Would he make a good owner in the NBA? You know, Michael Jordan hasn't done the best. LeBron James is probably going to be next in line. I just think it's a beautiful thing that we have more former players who are on a pathway to ownership. So if you look at the Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, I hope that he can get out of Dodge. I hope that Kevin Garnett can finally have his jersey raised in the Target Center or whatever the hell they're calling the arena right now. And I also hope that Kevin Garnett can come through and at least help the Minnesota Timberwolves get back to some type of prominence, even if he's going to be in an office. And then in another 25 minutes from now, I'm going to talk to Big Smooth Sam Perkins. I'm going to ask him about playing with Michael Jordan. I'm going to ask him about who the NBA MVP is. There's a lot of questions that I have for Big Smooth Sam Perkins, one of the original big men knocking down the J. But when we come back, I want to talk to you. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We know we got probably the greatest of all time in the NBA, who is an owner. That's Michael Jordan. Owns the Charlotte Hornets. Hasn't necessarily had too much success. Got the team from Bob Johnson. Runs the whole show. The next superstar that might have a stake. Okay, I know Shaq has a little bit of the Sacramento Kings. Well, at some point in time he did. I still believe he owns it. We have Kevin Garnett, who's revealed this evening that he's a part of a group that is looking to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, the team is up for sale. Looks like it might go for a little more than $1 billion, $1.2, $1.3 billion. Hey, KG's only made $340. I mean, a few years ago, he had a lawsuit. He feels that his manager, someone who was running his money, swindled him out of $77 million. Okay, possibility. He doesn't have the money to go out and just say, hey, I'm going to buy the team myself. He has to be a part of a group. But you can bet with a name like Kevin Garnett, who basically helped put the Minnesota Timberwolves franchise on the map, that he'll be the face of the franchise. It doesn't matter what portion of the team that he's going to own. You know, coming to mind, other owners or other former players. Grant Hill is a part of the Atlanta Hawks and their ownership group. But KG, he would be the face of that squad. Do you believe Kevin Garnett would be a good owner in the NBA? Would he be a good front office guy? We know he could be volatile on the court. He was all about the game. He was aggressive. There are few players that had the dog and a go-get that he had. How would that translate into the front office? The phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to take your phone calls, and in about 20 minutes, I'm going to get Big Smooth Sam Perkins on the line. A lot to talk to Big Smooth about, especially with the start of the NBA season. But right now, let's go to David in Virginia. David, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think about KG potentially being an owner in the NBA?
Man, I think it'd be great for him. As him being a previous player, he definitely has the knowledge. Now, for the business aspect of it, he's not going in alone, so I don't see where it could really fail from the business aspect. It'd just be getting the right pieces in the front office and putting them into play. The Minnesota Timberwolves already have a great foundation with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, two best friends. I think if they get Devin Booker, that could be the next Miami Heat bid three, just with their connection they have between those three.
Whoa, David, what did you just say? Did you just
I said
did, did let me wait, I'll repeat it for you. And then you tell me if I'm wrong. You just said if the Minnesota Timberwolves can get Devin Booker to go ahead and pair with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns, that they would be a big three like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh in Miami. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Of course, nobody can replicate the big three, you know, Miami Heat, what they did. But to have three people love to play together, that would be the perfect fit. You got Devin Booker, who's unstoppable 2-3. Huh? You feel me? You got D'Angelo Russell. He's going to have a ball in his hand, dish it out. Towns got the paint on lot. You can't go wrong with those three.
Those are three losers. I'm sorry, David. I mean, they're young. I mean, we're going to compare great NBA teams because guys are friends now or because they want to play together?
Hold on. What happened when LeBron first came in? He wasn't a winner, was he? He was a great player, but he wasn't a winner. And over time, he got there. Took him about five years to solidify who he was.
There are players who come into the league. Nobody comes in and automatically, quote unquote, is a winner. Nobody comes in and just, I'm going to take a team to the NBA championship. But we do have players that come in and can put up numbers and can lose. And when we talk about a Devin Booker, okay, Devin can go out and get you 70 points. A D'Angelo Russell can come out and say, I got ice in my veins. And Karl Anthony Towns can go ahead and say, I'm going to give you, 40 points. But we know what they've done collectively or individually as players? You know what they've shown, David?
What is that?
They've shown that even at this age, it's not like they're brand new babies in the league. They've all been around long enough. And they haven't shown, at least to me, that they can, quote unquote, be that guy who can win. I would say maybe Devin Booker, maybe he can get it. He's probably tired of being in Phoenix. But I'm not going to look at that combination of three guys and say, oh, my goodness, this is what everybody should fear next. Because I'm sorry, they've been losers.
I say you're wrong. I'm telling you, take three guys that came into the NBA, left everything they knew, and then if you group those together, that's the family structure all in one. I'm telling you, they're going to be happy. It takes happiness, and you want to play with the players you're playing with to win. And those three are great players. Just over time, I think we'll find out.
All right, David, thank you. Appreciate you for calling up from Virginia. I mean, there's a difference. And LeBron James, you want to talk about winning. LeBron James, it took him one season to come in, and then all of a sudden, boom, now he's over 500. So we want to talk about what LeBron James did in comparison. Karl Anthony Towns ain't won nothing. Sorry. Love Karl Anthony Towns. Fun to watch when you do watch him. Doesn't win anything. D'Angelo Russell, when he's not hurt, you know what he does? He doesn't win anything. He's good to watch at the end of a game. The Lakers didn't think he was that damn good now, did they? Jimmy Butler, an all-star, someone who actually worked hard in the NBA, he didn't think that Karl Anthony Towns was worth going out there and playing with and staying. And he didn't think he was worth it. And Devin Booker, he might be the greatest of them all. Unfortunately, he plays for Robert Sarver. I'm not going to say that a combination of those three is not going to be fun, that maybe they wouldn't be good together. But I'm not going to call them great players. Are they all-stars? Yeah. When I think about great players currently in the NBA, I'm thinking about a LeBron James. I'm thinking about a Steph Curry. I'm thinking about a Damian Lillard, a Russell Westbrook, a Kevin Durant, a James Harden, even though he is a lightning rod, a Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are great players. Those are guys who actually win, a Chris Paul. I don't want to hear about guys who put up numbers on awful teams and can't be the tip of a spear to win. No, come on. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron is calling up from Erie, Pennsylvania. Aaron, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think about Kevin Garnett being a part of anybody's ownership group?
All right, first of all, I'm scared talking on radio for the first time. Second of all, I think it's a great move for him to use whatever money he has earned in the league to do something great. The other thing, I have no idea what kind of people that he's going to have around him to help him out with, because it's a trickle down in economics with everything that goes along. And just because somebody says it's a good move to invest your money in buying a team doesn't mean it is a good move. Well, the other thing is,
well, hold on, Aaron. But no problem, man. And thank you so much for calling up. Kevin Garnett is not coming in to, run the show. If anything, Kevin Garnett is coming in to be a figurehead. I don't think anybody anticipates him being the NBA owner who is the Michael Jordan, who is the end-all be-all, who's the majority. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, man, sit here and balance those books. Kevin Garnett is going to be the liaison to the community. KG is going to be the guy going out and chatting it up with other players. KG will be the owner who may actually walk into practice and say, all right, big man, this is how we're going to go ahead and get it done. So I don't think anybody's looking at KG in that regard, Aaron.
Well, I mean, I hope that's the way.
No other way. Not going down any other way.
I don't know anything about any of this stuff. But So I'm from Pittsburgh. Okay, so Mario Lemieux took over a team. Okay.
Okay. And I thought you were disrespecting people in Pittsburgh. That was more towards Mario Lemieux. Okay.
And he took over ownership of the team, and that was a long road. I mean, it can happen. I wish him the best of luck.
Right.
And That's pretty much all I have to say. Thank you very much for having me.
No doubt about it, Aaron. Shout-outs to Aaron for calling up from Erie, Pennsylvania. That's his first time calling up the JR Sport Brief Show. Aaron, you call back anytime. But, yeah, no, Kevin Garnett is in a much better situation. He's not going to come in and be counted on to run the show. He's going to be the face of the organization. Let's see if it actually happens. There are no guarantees there when it comes down to the big ticket. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to chat it up with the big smooth former NBA player, Sam Perkins. I'm going to ask him who's the MVP.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. I told you we were going to talk to him on the line right now. We have a three-time All-American. He was a member of UNC's 1982 National Championship Squad. He played in the NBA for 17 years. He has a gold medal with USA Basketball. It's Big Smooth. It's Sam Perkins. Sam, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Just very fortunate today.
One day at a time. That's pretty much all we can do. Well, I got a lot of things to talk to you about. I can't omit that you're an even better human being. We're going to talk about your participation with the Special Olympics, but basketball real quick. We saw today that the NBA unveiled the court. We see the Black Lives Matter. You played in the league for 17 years. When you think about the NBA in comparison to like the NFL, the NBA is progressive. What are your thoughts on the NBA using the restart as an opportunity to send a social message?
Well, I'm sure I probably have an opinion that they don't even care about. But the thing is that the NBA saw some significance in doing that. And because of the pandemic and some of the social issues that we're having, the NBA would probably only help the cause in so many ways, because you have athletes who have their own voices, their own desires to be part of the social injustices, and they have a platform. So the NBA, you know, whether we started, so many people are probably against it or for it, I think it has some meaning to it because of the fact that people still want to see NBA. And it might keep a million people home or something like that, because we're having trouble with people staying home at this rate. So I believe that Adam Silver and the NBA and the players who participate, you know, they're going to have a message. And the social awareness of all the injustices that we have and face, racism and systemic suppression on voting, it gives us a new light, new different thing, you know, a new feel when players and athletes that we admire come to the forefront, and especially Black players, but only, you know, also white players in football and all the other genres of sports. They get a feel and say what they want when the mic is on.
Sam Perkins is here with us. With everything that's going on, whether it's the social issues here in the country or the health issues, you had a successful 17-year career in the league. Would you feel comfortable playing right now? And what is the adjustment that the players are going to have to make to get restarted?
If I had to choose right now, I would have to depend on heavily on my family and the people that it's a two-sided coin. I tell you, it's a straddling the fence whether I would or not. I probably most likely if I had to, if I'm paid to do something that I'm supposed to do, I probably would. But there would be hopefully guarantees and hopeful that we go by the COVID guidelines, COVID-19 guidelines, that I would be, you know, protected. But since we don't know much about the virus, you out there giving it a 50-50 chance that you may get infected or you may get sick. So I think overall it's probably going to be a personal factor and what ways, because some players have now decided not to participate. You can look at the NBA as well and the WNBA, where girls have a feel that they will sit out and they value their life more so than the sport. And even though you're getting paid for what you do, it's a personal factor that ties in with your decision. But I probably would play because of the fact that my message would get crossed and I would have a lot to say on the platform when the mic is on.
Okay, Sam. Well, you actually also spent some time in Los Angeles as a member of the Lakers. We know the Lakers are our favorite, or one of the team's favorite, to go out and win the title when we complete this year. And we also learned that the MVP award is going to be given out based on everything that's happened already. What would it mean for LeBron and the Lakers to win this title? And your experience playing in Los Angeles, what would it mean for the fans in the city?
Well, I believe more so it's more of a personal, it's personal with the players, with these group of players, because they stuck their necks out to play under these conditions. This is probably one of the hardest ones to win because of all the elements that prevail, that presents itself. But I think, I'm thinking they playing this only because LeBron, they want him to get another ring. So that's my personal feeling. But I don't see, I just really, with the new format and all that is presented, it could be anybody's game, but the way they match up with L.A. seems to be strong, and they have everybody. So I don't really see anybody beating them. They'll go through some – they're going to have to dig in the trenches, but I really believe that they will win. And L.A. will – if they do, I'm just saying, if they do win, as I think they will, Los Angeles will get another notch in their belt as a championship. LeBron will continue his legacy. Anthony Davis will come on, and all those players that support the Lakers stars will get a chance to feel what it's like to be champions.
Do you believe that LeBron is MVP over Giannis from when we stopped the league?
No, I really think I think Giannis. I like. Don't get me wrong. I like them both. The surge came on with LeBron towards the end of the season, but Giannis plays on a level, you know, on that level every given night, and he makes a big difference. He doesn't have as much of a strong team as the Lakers with individual talent, but he doesn't have an Anthony Davis. He is the Anthony Davis. He is the LeBron, and he has supporting cast, but I just can't see it. I mean, he is MVP. I could be wrong, but that's just my personal view.
Okay, we're on the line with Big Smooth Sam Perkins. Sam, we see a lot of players who have picked up on your game, outside game, especially as we've moved towards 2020. When you talk about someone like Giannis, we see the athleticism. What is that next step that he needs to take to add to his game? What's missing?
Well, I mean, his attitude and his approach to the game is superb. I mean, he has a demeanor every night to just destroy at will. But I think now he needs to learn the game and get his, you know, he loves going one-on-one. But I think now as he adapts and as he gets older, he has to play with his teammates. You know, he get himself involved, just similar to what LeBron does. But I think overall he has to, you know, get his ball handling together and his decision making, because he can't do it every night. I mean, I've seen nights where he's just worn, tired, and because of the fact he goes so hard, and that's why the reason I say that. But I think he now has to let his other team trust his other teammates to do whatever their desire is to do. So I really think that he has to work on just approaching the game, but letting others help him. And you see in the Last Dance, for Michael's standpoint, he needed other players to fill out the mission that he was trying to accomplish. So when that happens, I think overall, if he keeps at it and grow within the game, I really believe that he will get better and utilize his time on the court just a little bit better.
Well, Sam, you mentioned the Last Dance and the attitude that Michael took. You were on that 1982 title team with UNC. To see or look back at 82 and to even see we had an announcement today that the Jordan brand is going to be on multiple NBA uniforms throughout the upcoming season. What are your thoughts on how MJ has just built his brand from taking that shot in 82 where you were out there to seeing his influence on basketball and the game now? Did you see something like this happening?
Man, nobody saw that coming. You know, it's not a fluke. It's real because Michael made it happen that way. He made it. He told his story in the way he wanted to be told. I mean, coming at Carolina, he was a country boy, and I was from New York, and I didn't really see all what he was going to do, but at the same time, I knew he had a demeanor and he's very competitive. And he changed our practices just a little bit. It was more competitive. I mean, our practices were like games. And to get to six was something we wouldn't let the other team get to. So our game to six was like a 45-minute stretch. And that was our practices. And with Michael being as competitive as he was, I think it showed when he got to the pros and went to the NBA, and going through the losing to Detroit just made him even more tenacious. And as you can see in his in that documentary, he was just vicious with his teammates. And because he wanted to go through to win championships, he had to have other players with him. So he built the brand. He built the name coming out. They got the right photo image of him, and after that, it was just nothing, but all he had to do was just show up and play.
Sam Perkins is on the line with us. Sam, I just find it crazy that the Jordan Jumpman logo is going to be on a Detroit Pistons uniform. That's like the ultimate get back, if you ask me.
I don't know how they allowed it. I don't know how Joe Dumars, Isaiah, who else was there? Vinny, all them guys allow that to be the logo. But that logo is synonymous with everybody's success. And when that happens, it gives everybody, I guess a dimension with or a likeness with Jordan.
It's amazing what he's done. Now, Big Smoove, I laid out all of your accomplishments from UNC to your time in the NBA, your gold medal, but I also said you're an amazing person. Last night we had on Tim Shriver, who runs the Special Olympics. Why is this
right,
something that you've been a part of as well and given your time to?
Well, I'm going to try to condense it, but long story short, it goes back to Carolina, and Dean Smith is so grounded to the point where he was more making sure more of us was more social aware of our presence and what we can do with this platform. And so with that, I thought about what would engage me and how can I help others at the same time. And when I started looking into Special Olympics, I just didn't join. I had to actually know about intellectual disabilities, people with intellectual disabilities, and found out that they were across the world and we had something in common. Family members, celebrities, people we know may have someone with ID. And so as time went on, I had a friend that had ID as well, back in Brooklyn. And I didn't know he was or had intellectual disability.
Mm-hmm.
But I started researching and found myself doing a lot for the cause. And then Special Olympics, Tim Shriver and some other people were instrumental in getting me on the board of Special Olympics and thought that my work was catering to what they wanted, my personality or my persona, whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, I got entrenched and met these young men and women with ID, and I just felt that I had a platform to really stand up for them, be an advocate for them, and speak for them before the injustices, social inclusion, being accepted in the mainstream. Because as you can tell now, that's the main situation among Black Lives Matter, and these things want to be socially aware and socially acceptable. So we all are grateful that people are supporting us and doing good things in support of Special Olympics.
Well, Sam, I know you've been active with the organization for years, and I think that's just as important, if not more important, than your work on the court, is that you are a good dude. I encourage everybody out there to go to specialolympics.org. Sam, I know you keep it on the low. You're about the people and help folks out. Where can folks keep up with you if you want them to?
I'm just an AAU girls basketball director and coach, and trying to be instrumental in my daughter's growth. Just be a straight up person to be an example for them, and that's all I'm doing right now. So work with the NBA in capacity of being a mentor and doing some things for them for their social awareness programs, grassroots programs.
Well, Sam, you've always been good and humble while you're at it. Appreciate you taking the time to hop on, my man.
Man, I appreciate you for letting me spew a few minutes of your time and let people know what Special Olympics is all about.
Always a pleasure chatting up with Sam Perkins. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.